This is the DPHRO and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.
The number one pick in the NHL draft, but the man that can't seem to stump. Do something dumb, that's an observation. CLT make him need to run.
That's
I'm every trash, EMT for short. Wonder if we best, what you people score. Up at the crack of dawn, top stories of the morning. While you're yawning, grab your coffee, rise and shine with 98.7. This is drop time. We provide highlights from your favorite teams. Got Dave and Rick making plenty of picks. It's Rule 76.
And welcome. October the 12th, mid-October 2021. The show, as you've clearly fallen in love with, is DePietro, is DePiro, is DiPietro. Whichever one of the three show up on any given day, I don't know, but I'm Rothenberg along for the ride. Let's say good morning to my good friend, maybe best friend, still waiting for that invitation to the home, though, Rick DiPietro. Good morning, Rick.
Don't question it. Best friend.
Okay,
and it's we've already established that best friend. You know what today is, Dave?
Tuesday.
Tuesday. Well, it's not Taco Tuesday. It is Taco Tuesday. But what is today? It's a special
today.
Day. Very, very
special day in your life.
No. Special day. Well, yeah. I mean, for me, for RJ potentially, although he'll probably avoid this at all costs.
Hockey.
Oh, yeah. Hockey back on ESPN tonight.
Listen to the excitement.
Yes.
Listen to the excitement. Hockey is back.
Hockey is back, and it's been away from ESPN for way too long. Way too long.
It's great. So what do we have? The Kraken play tonight, don't they?
We got the Kraken tonight.
Yep.
We're kicking off with Pitt-Tampa. We're going to have Sean McDonough and Ray Ferraro on the call. You're going to have, ready for this? You're going to have Levy, Chelly, Mess, and Barry Melrose down in Tampa.
Oh, that is nice.
Are you kidding me? That's the heavy hitters right there.
That is nice. Now, why is DePiro not on any of the calls tonight?
DePiro clearly isn't at that level yet.
In my book, he's at the level.
Well, Italian soccer DePiro is probably invited. DiPietro/DePiro?
No.
He's staying on Long Island.
That's unfortunate. When does DePiro make his ESPN debut?
End of October, David.
End of October. So you get to kind of like watch how it plays out, get a feel for ESPN's coverage, consume it all, which I know you love to do, and then boom, late October, we have your big debut.
Yeah, I lie in wait in the bullpen,
nice.
And then they decide when they're going to use me and how they're going to use me. Could be a high leverage situation. We don't know.
So they could bring you in a 1-1 game in the eighth.
You never know.
Oh,
exactly right.
They don't know your lane yet?
No, we're trying to figure out the lane. Clothing-wise, I'm trying to figure out my lane. Do I go like Islander-style crazy, crazy sport coats? Do I ease my way in?
I would say ease, but do what you want. I mean, if you want to make an on-air statement like, say, a Don Cherry, you could do that.
Yeah, but I think you're right. I think I ease my way in, right, and then realize what I'm all about. This is a new audience. And then eventually maybe I come strong with the crazy attire.
Yeah. Let people fall in love with you again. And then at some point, early on, you then start to slowly morph into, he's wild. You don't know what you're going to get from DePiro. In fact, you should have the lower third one day. Rick DePiro. Like, you could, or just, ha, 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 DePiro. Like,
maybe that's my alter ego.
Yes.
Maybe, like, one segment on DiPietro, like the real
maybe
serious guy.
Maybe you end, you're breaking down the other games. Then you go to commercial, come back, and now we've got Rick DePiro. And you're like, I'm Rick DePiro. I'm crazy, right? And now you're all over the place. For those of you that are like, what is the DePiro? If you didn't hear yesterday, Omar from Brooklyn, the great Omar from Brooklyn, called, and he made up a new name for DePiro. Right?
Yeah, he's banned, too, by the way. Suspended. Yeah. At least a week off.
Yeah, I agree.
I'm sick
but
and tired
he won't even
of
know.
Because we have expectations for him. Like, he becomes, we have a handful of callers that are our guys.
Yeah, family.
Yeah, like a family, like Lonnie, like my nephew Lonnie. We got guys that, tweet and listen. We got Pedro, like a bunch of people. Omar has, people love hearing Omar.
Yep.
But there are certain days that we need to hear from Omar. And in, over the past couple months, he hasn't shown up.
Well, he showed up yesterday.
He
showed up, and I was excited to see it because, the Bills had their They're play it again. I didn't hear that.
Dave Rothenberg and Del Pearl.
I love the nervous, like, I don't know what his name is. But there are certain days you expect him to show up. And he showed up yesterday, but he didn't show up yesterday. Like, he was physically there, and the call was there, and the Bills had their... I mean, that's the Bills' biggest regular season win in years. Going into Kansas City, winning the game, we expected big things from him. He was awful. Like, his whole goal was, ha, Giants lost to the Cowboys. Take that, Dave. Well, I'm not the focus here. Why would you turn the attention on me? Bad job by him. Awful job by him. There's a lot for us to get into today. All right, so Mike Tannenbaum, 7:35. We have CMT, led by one RJ Santillo, 6:45. We have, I mean, the John Gruden story, which escalated very quickly, we'll get into, of course. We have the Jets. We have the Giants. I got to tell you, and we're going to start with Gruden in just a moment. If I'm a Yankees fan, watching the way the Red Sox use their manager and let him make some of these decisions would infuriate me now that the Red Sox, who had very low expectations, are sitting here. They beat the Rays. They beat the Yankees. They're in the American League Championship Series just waiting for the winner of Houston and Chicago.
Yeah, that is one of the teams in professional baseball that you can point to and say their manager has a direct impact on them winning and that they're a different team with Alex Cora as the manager. Because I think you're right. I think that... You know, he's one of those managers like a Terry Francona or one of the guys, the Joe Maddons that are allowed the the latitude to use the numbers and the analytics, how they see fit. Like, there'll be times, instances during games. Like, I mean, the fact that they bunted last night.
I loved it.
I loved every second of it. And it worked. Now, I mean, Yandy Diaz doesn't make a great play there at third, which opens up the door to have the sack fly that ends it. But, I mean, that's a team in Tampa that most people pick to be at least in the World Series.
I'm stunned by the result. Stunned. I thought the Tampa was going to destroy Boston. And the fact that the Red Sox won that series, very impressive. Giants.
What is this baseball, though? Dave, you never know. Like, this is why, I mean, you have these conversations. We go back and forth, and I get mad at you sometimes because, I mean, it would be great if all these series, all these games were played on paper. I mean, what was the one thing? You asked the question, and again, I give you tons of credit because me and you, as best friends now, you did it again yesterday. We asked the exact question. Last question. Everything, all the pressure with the Rex Ryan interview is on you. We only have one question. You asked the exact same question.
Really?
I wanted to ask perfection.
Oh, wonderful. I got to be honest. I didn't remember what the question was.
It was about the Kansas City Chiefs being in real
trouble. Oh, yeah. So you, in your head, you're like, God, I wish we had time to ask about the Chiefs. And I said, Rex, one more quick one.
Yep.
How concerned are you about the Chiefs? How good did you feel at that moment?
It only solidifies further that me and you are best friends. We're on the same wavelength. Okay, so anyway, so the point is that me and you go back and forth, and I get mad at you sometimes because you're like, oh, you should beat this team, or, you're clearly better. And I tell you, Dave, crazy stuff happens. Game's not played on paper. You ask Buster only, looking at the Yankees-Red Sox series. Why should the Yankees, because he thought the Yankees would win, why should the Yankees win this game? And he said he's never seen a more distinct advantage for one team in a wild card game, and it was the Yankees' bullpen.
Correct.
He thought the Red Sox bullpen stunk. Did you see what the Red Sox bullpen did against Tampa in the series?
Yeah, I'm shocked. Well, you have a big advantage because when you can start using starters, when you can use guys like Pivetta, right, when you can bring guys out of the pen who are really starters, it changes the dynamic in the postseason. It does. But there,
and you got Whitlock back.
Now, yeah, McClanahan was terrible last night. He got hammered.
Yeah, I don't know, man. It's just there's a couple different things with analytics that I don't love. Like, we don't believe in hot and cold and stuff like that. Drives me crazy, but it's also, when you start going to the bullpen that many times, you're bound to get one guy that just doesn't
have
as good
stuff. That's the thing. And therein lies the problem with going to the bullpen over and over and over. Now, they did come back. They tied the game. You give the Rays credit. Wander Franco is going to be an absolute phenomenal player. He is a special kind of player. But we'll get to that a little bit later. And we will get the pulse of the Yankees fan and how, and I would think you got to be furious now if you're the Yankees that the Red Sox beat the Rays. And you couldn't even beat the Red Sox, and the Rays are so much better than you. And Alex Cora is making in-game decisions like the Yankees fan would love to see from their manager. And they have an expiration date on this thing. I mean, they have, what, like 3 weeks to make their final decision of what they're going to do with Aaron Boone? And you saw the story yesterday. I think it was Buster who said, if the Yankees don't retain him, San Diego would be right on the heels of Aaron Boone. They would absolutely want him.
Yeah, I also saw that Buck Showalter's in the mix for the Mets job, which I really like.
Well, how could you not?
You realize this too? How about this? So this stat I saw this morning. that so the Red Sox, you know, obviously a wild card team, beat the Rays, the one that, you know, the one seed. That's the eighth time in 17 series that a number one seed has lost to a wild card team.
That's so really what it's saying is there's no advantage.
Well, I mean, outside of the fact that you got to use your best pitcher probably in that wild card game.
Yeah, I mean, baseball's still, crazy like even that. Even if you use your best pitcher, I didn't see the stat, but even if you use your best pitcher, it's 50-50 that you can win the next series, which was remarkable because you would think down your best pitcher, more games on the road than home, that you would lose more than half the time.
Yeah, I mean, it's supposed to be a distinct advantage. I mean, you got home field. Right? You're fully rested. You have your pitching set up. Well, that's the beauty of baseball. You never know what's going to happen.
You never know what's going to happen. All right, we didn't know what was going to happen with John Gruden. And I can't believe... I can and I can't believe that it happened so quickly. So the emails... first, we find out there's the one email, racial... I don't want you to say undertones, or you want to say it's just flat out, you know, racially motivated, whatever you want to see with the original email. And that's a big story. And then yesterday, this New York Times story comes out, and he is just all over the place. Like, he will take shots at any... like, you know, the homosexual community, the commissioner, Caitlyn Jenner, you name it. He's going after people, and he doesn't make it through the night. As you're watching Monday Night Football last night, you learn that John Gruden is out. He resigns, and I think it was the only thing that could happen. Because if he didn't resign, if you're the Raiders, I think you would have had to fire him by the end of last night or today.
Yeah, I mean, that's what it was. I mean, and if anyone watched Monday Night Countdown last night and you had the Shefty report, where the NFL sent over more emails to the Raiders. I mean, they wanted John Gruden out. I mean, the NFL, you could tell. Like, yeah, Shefty, I don't know if it was going to happen last night during Monday Night Football, but it was clear that whatever was in those new emails that they sent over was going to be more than enough to have John Gruden either fired or, you know, obviously he resigned last night. But, I mean, how if you're John Gruden after... you know, getting in front of your team, apologizing. You know, I don't have a racist bone in my body. I apologize.
And he sounded annoyed at the end, too.
Well, and it clearly
affected his team. I'm not discussing this anymore. I'm not a racist person. I'll leave it at that. Let's kind of move on. Like, come on, pal.
Well, no. I mean, he didn't. I mean, I don't know if he expected that all the emails were going to come out. I mean, I guess you would have to at that point. But, I mean, there's no way he gets in front of that team and can be the coach of that team anymore. Or, I mean, more importantly... I mean, he's the face. He's the CEO of a, you know, almost a $3.5 billion franchise. Like, you can't have that if you're Mark Davis.
No, and I'm sure for Mark Davis it wasn't easy because he loves him. But the NFL played it well, I thought, in kind of putting the impetus on. All right, Raiders, you figure out how this is going to play out. We don't want to get involved. If we have to, we will. And in the end, they didn't have to.
No, they didn't have to. But I mean, it was clear they wanted John Gruden let go, resign, fire, whatever it is going to be. I just don't. I mean. What is it that Tom Coughlin used to always say? Burn the boats?
Yep.
Isn't that his saying? Burn
yep.
the boats?
Yep.
I mean, John Gruden burned. I mean, you read some of those emails. It's
terrible.
It's everybody.
Yeah, but he's, I mean, listen, I always thought he was enjoyable on Monday Night Football, and he was a little too positive about everybody. Everybody's, this guy's great, and that guy's wonderful, and this is the best player. And then you realize in his personal life, it's the opposite. Like, he hates everything. He hates everybody. I mean, you know, sounds just like a bad guy. You heard Keyshawn Johnson. We'll hear from him in a second. Yesterday, just bad guy. And it's hard to argue with that right now.
Well, see, that's the thing, though, too. I mean, you don't ever know, right? I mean, you've had former players come out and say they've never seen any signs of this, but you don't really know, right? You have no idea what's in somebody's heart. Like, remember that great, you know, John Wooden quote is, you know, true test of a man's character is what he does when no one's
that's
watching.
Right. That's right.
So, I mean, this is something he thought was in private with Bruce Allen going back and forth. And
yeah, but how does that make it okay?
No, I'm not saying it makes it okay. But you get a kind of, this is a look into what he really thinks. Like, what he portrays to his team or
right.
to the public is clearly different than how he feels in his own private life.
Correct.
That's my point. So now you can't trust him as a player. Now you can't trust him. Like, when he stood in front of his team and said, you know, those comments about the Morris Smith I had, there was no, you know... racial innuendo, and then you read some of these other ones, and I mean, Carl Nassib's a Vegas Raider.
Right.
And he's openly gay, and now he hears this. So it's, I mean, you can't lead a group of men and women that are in that building. I mean, John Gruden signed a 10-year, $100 million deal. He is the face of the Las Vegas Raiders. And you can't, if you're Mark Davis, as much as you love him, have him as the face of your team right now with all the stuff that came out.
Yeah, no, it's awful. I mean, I'm reading the Times article I have in front of me right now. Took shots at female referees, right? Took shots at homosexual
players. At everybody.
Took shots at
Goodell.
Goodell. I mean, went right after Goodell. There was really, I mean, kneeling for the anthem, homophobic slurs. I mean, there was nothing that was off base for him to go after. So if you thought
owners, he went after NFL owners.
Well, the owner, you name it. And see, it's not like he says, I don't like Jerry Jones. All right, fine. You know, you have an email. I don't like Jerry Jones. It's fine. What I don't understand is why do you have to go after people, like personal attacks on these people?
Because he was comfortable. That's why. That's when stuff like this happens, when you feel like you're in a group where you're comfortable and you can say how you really feel. And you don't have to hold
back.
So
now we know the real John Gruden.
That's what I mean. That's what I'm saying. That's why he can't get up in front of a room and coach an NFL team that has an openly gay player, that has, 75% of their team is black men. There's women that work, for the team, that work in the front office. I mean, he offended every single one of
everybody.
The people that he's tasked to lead.
Everybody. But I saw the first story and the first email that was leaked, and my thought was, there's zero chance this is an isolated incident. There is no way in the world this one shot came out and just happened to be caught via email, and that's the one time. And he was so adamant about it. And we'll hear from Gruden in a minute when we return, but so adamant, I don't do that. That's not me. I have zero, racial whatever in my DNA. And then you find out 24 hours later, no, that's exactly who you are. Like, there's a paper trail of who you are.
Well, that's the amazing part of this, too, is, I mean, so this was all because of the investigation into the Washington football team.
Correct.
Because at the time, Bruce Allen was working for, the Washington football team. And they had, a previous relationship in Tampa. So it was him, and it was Gruden, Bruce Allen. It was a bunch of big-time people, too. It was the founder of Hooters.
Yes.
It was
someone else, too.
PDQ Chicken, the founder of PDQ Chicken, mm-hmm. going back and forth in this email chain. And, I mean, because they were, obviously investigating the Washington football team. And what the crazy part is John Gruden loses his job, and he deserves to lose his job. And... And Daniel Snyder is kind of just whatever.
Well, someone had a great tweet last night. It was like the guys who write the checks somehow skate through, and the guys that cash the checks wind up losing their jobs.
Well, that's what happens, though.
Yep.
I mean, that's the reality of it. I mean, the owners, and the fact that he went after the commissioner, and the fact that he went after other owners.
But if you don't like the commissioner, fine. Like, I get that.
But don't, say, I don't like the commissioner. I mean, if you read this article, I mean, the way he referred to the commissioner and everything else is not.
And therein lies the problem for me. Having an opinion, I don't like this, or I don't like this player, I don't like this owner. That's fine. That's well within your rights. Taking racial shots or shots in some capacity, one way or another, at people for no reason other than you don't like them is unacceptable. And it's why he's unemployed right now.
Yeah, I mean, it's not the first time that you've seen stuff like this, though. I mean, this is what happens. Like, Gruden's in a space where he feels comfortable, and you get a chance to see who the real John Gruden is. Or, I mean, cases where, guys are really angry and they start saying things that they shouldn't be saying. Like, I mean, this is, and it clearly affected his team too. I mean, his team did not play well against Chicago.
No, and of course that affects the Giants, which is no good. But they were terrible on Sunday.
Yeah, I mean, he's just this is what had to happen, and. I'm happy that they move quickly, but...
Well, they had to.
Because there's no chance he can go back. He cannot step foot back in that locker room in front of his team.
I think the question becomes, and the phone lines are open for you guys, 800-919-3776. The question is, he can't be employed in the NFL again,
no,
right?
No, he's done. No, he's
but
done.
But he can't even have a public role in anything. He can't be a broadcaster, can
no.
he?
No.
No.
No, I don't think anyone's going to hire him now at this point.
No. So now he just, goes off into anonymity for the rest of his life.
Yeah, and just, I mean, whatever he decides to do, but I can't imagine, that he's going to work in the sport again.
I wouldn't think
so. He can't coach. I mean, how can you?
He can't coach, but what's he going to coach? Every time you turn on the TV and he's calling the game, your first thought is, this is a racist. Like, this is a guy who...
Oh, not just
who,
a racist. I mean,
a homophobe, you name it.
So, yeah, this is all bad for him. And all bad for the Vegas Raiders right now.
Very bad.
I mean,
we started out so good.
A promising start, and now, yeah, they're dealing with this.
It has fallen apart.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
And welcome aboard.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
What Rex said yesterday, thinking the Lions are better than the Jets or have a brighter future than the Jets, has to just be, oof, just a shot to the gut to you.
They fight, man. I mean, they fight.
They do fight.
Two heartbreaking losses.
Awful. Yeah.
They should have won both of those games. Head coach.
They play for that guy, so I give him a lot of credit. So we'll get
into that. I'm glad you brought that up because that ties into perfectly with this whole John Gruden thing. You saw him after the game. I mean, he was crying at the podium.
Correct.
That's... The job of a head coach is to inspire his team and to show each guy in that room that he cares about them.
Yeah, I'm right here with you.
I'm right here with you. Every positive experience I've had with a coach, it's almost like, you know, a father-son relationship where, and Rex has said this, like, they don't care what you know until they know you care. Like, that's an important thing. And to now all of a sudden have, you know, this stuff come out about John Gruden, there's no way he gets into, you know, can step into a locker room and have the kind of relationships he needs with his players. It's
none.
Impossible.
Absolutely none. Let's go to Dan in Massapequa. Dan, you're next up on 98.7 ESPN.
Morning, gentlemen. I can agree with the Rick Moore. Where's the blowback from the guys on the email? Where are they saying an email back to John saying, hey, we don't like what you're saying. We don't agree with what you're saying. Where is the blowback from them?
Well, it probably didn't faze them, Dan.
Everybody kind of takes it as a joke. What's that?
It probably didn't faze them. They probably saw it and they were just like, either, okay, fine, right? Either we feel the same way as he does, or that's the way Gruden is, and we're just going to leave it like that.
But isn't that a problem? I mean, that's
of course it's a problem.
I mean, oh, that's just John being John, you know? I mean, that's a big issue.
Well, you said where's the feedback from them? Hang on. You said where's the feedback from them? So I'm just answering the reason in my mind that they didn't have that feedback is they were either like, they don't see anything wrong with it, or, well, that's just John being John. I'm not saying it makes it right. I'm just trying to decide and decipher what their rationale is behind their decisions.
That's the shame of the whole thing, that there is no blowback from them as well, you know? My second point is I called last week. I told you my son was a Boston fan. I had the Yankee-Boston rivalry, and I was going to let him stay up late. It annoyed me to a point last night watching him watch them win and him telling me, and that's why Cora is a better manager than Boone, and that's why Boston is a better team than the Yankees because they let him manage. It annoyed me so much I had to kick him out of the room.
Yeah, put him to bed. Put him to bed early. All right, Dan, we appreciate the phone call. Let's bring on one of the hosts, the K portion of KJM, which comes your way at 8 o'clock every morning right here on 98.7 ESPN, Keyshawn Johnson. Keyshawn, we appreciate a couple minutes. I know you go on the air momentarily. But wanted to have you on about this really wild story with John Gruden. Doesn't sound like this is a tremendous surprise to you, though, that we got here to this day, is it?
Well, what I would say is, well, it's not a surprise that he resigned, whatever you want to call it. That's not a surprise. It's not a surprise that John Gruden, in my opinion, was always a bad guy. It's not a surprise to me. What is a surprise to me is that he would put insensitive language and despairing language in an email to a former colleague of his or a colleague of his or whomever, Bruce Allen, who he worked with the Raiders as well as the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and Bruce worked with his brother at the Washington football team. That to me is a little surprising, but on the surface, Gruden being – doing something that would raise someone's eyebrows, that's not a surprise to me at all whatsoever. I mean, I played for him for 2 years, and I don't have an axe to grind at all. I mean, I no problems. I work with him with ESPN. It is what it is, right? At the end of the day, I know who you are. Like, I can see you. You're not going to be able to hide from me. And that's one of the reasons that our relationship was as icy as it was in Tampa Bay is because I was the first person to realize this dude is a fraud. And no one wanted to believe me. You know, all the you sports talk media guys, you know how that goes. It's Keyshawn's fault. Oh, my God, he's a diva. He wants the ball. This is the reason they just form their own opinions and listen to one side. And throughout throughout my whole career, post-career, I never gave a rat's ass about what people said when it pertained to John Gruden, because I always knew the truth. And the truth was he is a bad guy. Now, all of a sudden, these emails come out, and people want to say he's a bad guy now. I'm like, man, he was a bad guy 20 years ago.
Yeah, but Key, I mean, I listen, you know, being in locker rooms all my life, I played for some coaches that were bad guys. But this is more than being just a bad guy. During your time with him in Tampa, did you ever sense he was, like, to this point where, I mean, he was this kind of bad guy, or was just you just thought he was a bad guy in general?
A bad guy in general? I never looked at it from a standpoint of bigotry, race, homophobia, nothing like that. But doing something that a person of leadership shouldn't be doing and treating people a certain way or talking behind people's backs, that's not a surprise. It's just not a surprise at all. And I understand you've been inside of locker rooms and things of that nature, but being around him is different than being around the coaches that you've been around, because he's a different animal. He was a different character. When you go on the football field and you patting guys on the back and you saying, oh, my God, you're this hey guy and you're that. And then you go into the coaches' meeting rooms and you completely just shred everybody that's on your team. That's a bad guy. I call it a fraud, a phony.
Same thing, yeah.
Yes. And so to me, that's a bad person, man. When we won the Super Bowl, you went and took the role of general manager away from Rich McKay to the point where the guy who orchestrated and put the team together left in the middle of the season to go take a job in Atlanta because he couldn't stand to be around you. It's well documented. It's on record. It's not me. I'm just giving you facts. I'm not creating it. As they say, I didn't make the news. I'm just delivering the news.
Yeah, see, that's the one thing people need to understand about locker rooms, too, is the players, you know, teammates, coach, like, you know who a guy is. They can't hide in the locker room. Like, you know exactly what a guy's all about. But, Key, let me ask you this, though, too. I mean, the fact that these emails were going back and forth for as long as they went back and forth, and, you know, Gruden at the time was with Monday Night Football, comes the head coach of the Vegas Raiders, but, I mean, also Bruce Allen. I mean, position of power in Washington with the Washington football team. I mean, doesn't it speak to a bigger problem that this was going back and forth as long as it went and, you know, nothing was ever said as to, like, you know, Bruce Allen be like, hey, this is not acceptable? Like, isn't it speaking to a bigger problem right now?
Come on, man. You know, he sent it to his buddy.
Yeah.
He thought everything was okay. It's my friend. We all work together. Kumbaya. This is my guy. He was with me with the Raiders. I brought him to be the general manager when I got the power and ran Rich McKay out of the building. He became my general manager in Tampa. We were aligned together. So there's a trust factor there. But if you start to connect the dots and you put stuff together, you'll follow a trail, and I know Bruce, but you'll follow a trail. And then you'll see, like, oh, okay, I understand why Bruce wouldn't say anything. You think about it. The Washington football team had their own issues.
Mm-hmm.
That's why they had to basically blow the building up and try to rebuild the foundation and everything else with the Washington football team. That's why he was pushed out, because of some of the things that was going on in Washington. I mean, you know, you do know who Bruce Allen's brother is, right?
No.
George Allen, the former governor of Virginia.
Okay.
Connect the dots.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I'm saying. Follow the trail. It ain't too far away from each other. And so when you start to really pay attention to it, because you just said to me, shouldn't Bruce Allen say, hold on, wait a minute. I can't have these conversations with you. The behavior pattern speaks for itself.
Yep.
When you follow when you connect the dots.
Yeah, well, unfortunately, this story has come to light, and it's been a monster story. We know you're going to lead with it on your show, spend a lot of time today. Keyshawn, we know you come up in just a couple moments nationally. We appreciate you, and we'll talk to you soon, hopefully with better stories to dissect. But good stuff as always, my man.
Hey, we could talk about Lamar's MVP season that he's having thus far.
Hey, Key, do me a favor, too. I mean, will you stop giving out your wife's cell phone number to everybody, please?
Man, I don't know how the dude got my wife's cell phone number. Put it this way, I got some investigation stuff going on myself with that.
The NFL's not the only one doing a little investigative work, huh?
Exactly.
All right, we'll talk to you about that. Thanks.
Thanks.
Yep, that is Keyshawn Johnson. What happened yesterday? The producer called his wife.
No, okay, so Key went to. I mean, he was in L.A. So Key, obviously, I mean, he was in L.A. before he came to New York,
right,
to do KJM.
Now, is he back in L.A. full time?
No. He went back and he went to the Chargers game.
Okay.
So, I mean, and give the dude credit for waking up as early as he is to do the show.
So he goes on at 6, which is 3 out there, which means he's waking up at what time? Like 1?
Well, I don't know how far he is from the studio. Yeah, I would imagine it's early. It's early, probably 2 maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah, but anyway, so his producer yesterday, I guess, couldn't get a hold of him. I guess he was texting Key. I guess Key was driving, so he wasn't responding to the texts because he's like, why am I going to respond? I'm on my way. I'll be fine. So the producer started to get nervous. So he texted. He must have gotten in touch with someone and said, I got to find another way to get a hold of Key, like make sure he's up. So they gave the producer Key's wife's phone number. So Key started getting text messages from his wife.
So the producer reaches out to his wife at 2:45, 2:50 in the morning.
Yeah, like, is everything okay? Like, is right. Key, I mean, is he okay? Is
so
he
now
up?
She
is
probably panics, thinking something terrible's happened to my husband.
Because he left, yeah, because right. He's obviously not at home.
Right. Oh, my goodness. Now, but let me take the producer side for a moment. You're 5 minutes before you go on air. You can't reach your host. Is it wrong for him to freak out and take other avenues to try to find Keyshawn Johnson?
No. Absolutely not. I mean, no, I would hope, I mean, I would expect RJ to text Cassie, call the house.
Right.
That's my biggest fear is sleeping through a show.
Oversleeping? No. Well, you wake up 4 hours before the show.
I'm worried about falling back asleep is what I'm worried about.
Oh, yes.
It's not so much sleeping through it. It's I'm up. I get everything done.
I actually hope it happens one day. I hope there's one day that you sleep through the 5 a.m. start just so I can solo host the show and hold it over your head forever.
Never.
No, that to me would be great.
It's not going to happen. I'm telling you, I set another alarm when I wake up.
Just the one time. Where all of a sudden you get a call on your house phone at 5:12 and it's RJ in a panic. Where are you? We're on the air and Rothenberg's a disaster. Get involved. We need your help. Just one time.
Yeah, that's not going to happen again. That happened to me at the Olympics. I missed the flight home, so that won't happen again.
But you're all banged up out there, I would imagine.
Yeah, but talk about, we're doing shots out of a boot. That's not going to happen.
Whose boot?
I think it was Chelly's boot. Ugh. I want to say it was Chelly's boot.
Then why a boot, though?
I have no idea. I just did. It escalated quickly. It was an unbelievable. I mean, it was, dude, it was this tiny little bar right outside the Olympic Village. And I've told the story before. I told you that where Chelly's like, he called us up. It was like, I don't know, 10 or 11 in the morning. And we went over there and it was just me, Chelly, Mark Parrish hanging out. And he's like, hold on, I got to take this phone call. And he's like, wait till you see who's coming now. And all of a sudden, Wayne Gretzky walks in.
Love it.
So we were hanging with Wayne Gretzky. And then from there, it just turned into it seemed like the whole village was in this little tiny little bar. Doing shots out of boots. It was crazy.
Love it.
Thanks for listening to the DPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
I'll give it to you whenever you want it.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at DR on ESPN.
You heard Salah. Very optimistic, very positive. Don't worry, things are fine. And now Greeny from the show yesterday. Get your umbrellas ready because sky is falling. Here is Greeny saying the Jets are heading in the wrong direction right now.
The Jets have regressed terribly. And I would ask the question from the coach who last week wanted to tell us how great they were during the week, how great their execution was in practice. I would ask, what the hell are they doing all week? Like, what are they practicing? No team has ever been worse to start games than the Jets have been. They have not scored a point in the first quarter of 5 games this year, and they've been outscored in their 5 first halves, 75-13. Their offense is non-existent in the first halves of games. What are they planning? Like, all these teams script all of their plays, right? You got the script. This is what we're going in with. Then we'll start adapting from there. The Jets should start adapting on Wednesday. Just assume whatever you're going with is not going to work. And what's happening is this is a game that was a total step backwards. The coaching is awful. The talent is awful. And the young quarterback looks dazed by it all. And who can blame him? I hate rooting for this team.
Oh. I know what that is like, but I mean, you hear that and you can't feel good as a Jets fan.
No, you can't. I mean, we talked about it yesterday. And I was listening to the K show too yesterday, and they were talking about how, again, I mean, Greeny read you the stats, how bad this team is in the first quarter. the one thing, you know, you could say about Adam Gase, as awful as he was at least, I mean, that first possession, you know, the however many plays that they had scripted during the week were damn good. I mean, they would consistently
score. They scored often on that first drive. They really did.
All the time.
Yep.
All the time. And then, you know, they brought up the point, well, you know, how come, you know, with the short amount of time you have at halftime to make adjustments, does it seem like the Jets make adjustments and look so much better in the second half? And my first thought was less about the adjustments and more about the fact that you just spent the first half getting your teeth kicked in. You go into the locker room, like, is it just the other team's like, this team stinks. And they end up just naturally taking their foot
off the gas a little bit?
Yeah.
It could be. I mean,
like if you can't, I have a hard time believing
3 points a game in the first half.
Dave, I have a hard time believing that you spent an entire week scripting out plays and you go, I mean, and you're as bad as you ran 6 plays in the first quarter. I think the number is 0 net passing yards in the first quarter of games through 5 weeks. No points. They have 5 first downs. That you spend a whole week scripting these plays and running through them, and they look that bad, and then all of a sudden you go into the locker room, and in 12 minutes you can come up with a better game plan than you had for an entire week.
Yeah, I agree with you. How is that humanly possible?
It has to be the other team is just like
the other team's
team
like, oh, you
stinks.
Know what? Forget it. This team.
Well, no, I think you just naturally. Yeah, I think you. I mean, like you go into a first period of a game, right? And you assess, like you come out first 5 minutes, you know you're going to come hard, and you kind of assess as you go. And say you got a 3-goal lead. Naturally, you come out in the second period. You're not going to have the same kind of intensity that you had in the first period. So the other team will look better. And then you'll kind of recalibrate and then you'll get back to playing your game.
So are you nervous?
That what? The wheels are falling off this thing?
Yeah, I mean, just are you greeny nervous where you're like, uh-oh?
No, I wouldn't say I'm nervous. I'm disappointed. I told you that. I mean, I told you that yesterday. That was a winnable game.
That should have been a winnable game. That was not a winnable game.
Well, yeah. I mean, saying going on Friday, I looked at that game as a winnable game. And then to watch what we watched, especially with the young quarterback, as bad as he looked, yeah, I mean, there are a bunch of different emotions.
I mean, if you're over there, Tottenham, right, and you're watching the game and you knew nothing about football, you thought, boy, they sent this Falcons team, they're very good, and this Jets team is very bad. Where in actuality, I mean, the Jets should. I mean, it's a 2.5-point spread. That should have been an even game. The Jets should have had their way to move up and down the field a little bit. Falcons defense stinks.
Falcons defense isn't good, but I think that was a clear example of the difference between a veteran quarterback and what a rookie looks like. And we know how important that position is in the sport. I mean, Matt Ryan picked them apart.
A grizzled veteran. He's a pro's pro is what he is. Yep. Mm-hmm.
And that's without Calvin Ridley, without Gage. And you knew going into the game, I mean, there were two guys. It was going to be Patterson and it was going to be Kyle Pitts.
Pitts is the one. I mean, Patterson, I would have said, you know what, whatever he does, he does. Pitts is the one guy that he is not going to beat me. And he killed you.
Dave, you had a defensive end trying to cover him in the end zone.
I know.
Like, I get it. You just signed the guy to a beautiful new contract extension. But I don't, as good as he's been, I don't trust him covering Kyle Pitts in the end zone.
No, well, that's not his role.
So, yeah, there's a bunch of different problems. I mean, what Greeny's talking about is the, you know, I think has more to do with what we're seeing from the young quarterback. Because I think that's every Jets' biggest fear, is that we ruin another young quarterback.
Oh, that I don't even want that to happen. I mean, the last thing I want is to have another young quarterback who's you know, not as good as advertised, and you have to go through this for 2-3 years and then do it again.
Yeah, but you almost feel like they put themselves in a spot where they actually deserve it. Like, you don't want to have it happen, but you can understand why it would. For all the reasons that we've already talked about, the two biggest reasons being is that you put a rookie quarterback with a rookie offensive coordinator and you have no veteran quarterback as a backup in that room with him. Or no other option in case he does struggle. Like, I can't even fake an injury with this guy.
No.
Like, at least
I got to be honest with you. I don't even know who the backup quarterback is. Is it Johnson?
No, it's Mike White.
Oh, God.
And we wasted a pick on James Morgan for what?
And that was not an early pick either.
It was a fifth-round pick on James
Morgan. I mean, that was a legitimate pick.
Take Captain Morgan with a fifth-round pick over what we're doing with James Morgan.
Time.
He's never going to see the field.
No. So Rex Ryan was on Greeny's show yesterday and makes this to me is damning. If you're saying Lions long-term over Jets, that's something. Here is Rex Ryan on Greeny yesterday.
To me, this is a step back, and it's just like, golly, at least have some punch to you. We're seeing Detroit.
Yeah.
We put up that thing right there. They haven't won a game. I'd much rather have Detroit because they give every darn thing they have. I'm proud. I would be proud to be a Detroit Lion fan. Right now, I am a New York Jets fan, and I'm not proud of it right now.
How about
that?
It's
a ridiculous take. Awful take.
Well, I love Rex. Look at you taking shots at Rex.
No, I'm not taking it. It's just, it's my biggest problem with this business, man. It's just, it's a hot take to have a hot take. I mean, the Jets defense fights their ass off. They got exposed a little against Atlanta because, again, you keep going 3-0 and they got to spend the entire first, I mean, almost 12 minutes on the field in the first quarter. 23 plays coming off a game the previous week against Tennessee when they're on the field for over 90 plays. They have a young quarterback that's not very good right now.
Right.
As bad as you think Jared Goff is, Jared Goff's been to a Super Bowl, man.
Well, Jared Goff is a professional quarterback.
Exactly right.
He's not there yet. He's not great, but he's not terrible.
No, he's not terrible. And he can, I mean, he's been there. He's done that. He's not an elite quarterback, but he's shown that he can play the position well at this level. Zach Wilson has not done that yet. And you can't expect to get down. Like, I don't care how much fight you think your team has. You can't consistently get down in the first quarter and first halves of games and expect you to, you know, just keep fighting, guys. Keep fighting when you know your team knows they have no chance to win.
And they fought back in this game. You give them credit. And then the defense fought them down in a big spot.
Well, yeah. And then all of a sudden now you cut it to three and, you know, first play out of that is Kyle Pitts running around by himself.
Yep. Which makes sense. The one guy that you have.
And then they did you a favor. They take a stupid false start penalty and on 3rd and 13.
Yep. You let them pick it up. Yep. All right. I know RJ has a beautiful CMT plan, so let's get to a little CMT.
To cuddle.
I would be a menace as a teenage girl.
To marry.
I don't want to give up the meat.
Or to trash.
I think I'm emotionally broken.
That is the question.
Ah, yes. CMT brought to you by Nissan and DraftKings Sportsbook, which is exciting. Two sponsors.
A double sponsor.
Things are happening.
Wow.
Things are happening. If you're out there, get on board. We'll go three sponsors next week.
Triple sponsor?
Oh.
Yeah, you get three.
They're unheard of.
Things get tricky.
Tough to handle three.
Got to make sure you give enough attention to all sponsors. For the first time.
People get jealous.
For the first time in the football world since the 2019 playoffs, something has happened. The Chiefs are no longer Super Bowl favorites. But this isn't the question, but do you care to guess who is? Maybe you know this.
I'll say the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Tampa Bay as well.
That would be correct. The 2019 divisional round, the last time anyone but the Chiefs were the Super Bowl favorite. So I will ask you guys to cuddle, marry, trash the Bucs, the new favorites, the Bills, or how about the undefeated Cardinals?
Wow, that's a good question.
It is a nice question. A gorgeous start. I will begin. And I will agree with Vegas. I will marry Tampa for a couple of reasons. I think the NFC at the top is not as good as the AFC. So I will marry Tampa. I will cuddle, who in my mind right now at this moment, the best team in the AFC, and that is the Buffalo Bills. And I will trash the only undefeated team in the NFL, the Arizona Cardinals.
I think I have to agree with you. Let me ask you a question. And the Chargers have been great, and Arizona yep. is undefeated. Would you put Buffalo as the best team in football right now?
Yes.
Offense with defense?
Yes. And their defense is playing at a dominant level. Offensively, they're elite. I don't love their running game, but they're crushing
Josh teams. Allen is kind of their running game.
Yeah, I would. I think that Buffalo is the best team in football. Now, that being said, I still give Tampa a better chance to win the whole thing because I think their road is easier, and they've got Brady, and they have so many weapons. But yes, I think Buffalo from top to bottom is the best team in football.
Let's not forget, though, there's only one bye, though, Dave. Only one bye this year.
Yep.
So, Dave, you have a lot of experience gambling. You say things like...
The slot machines are for losers.
All right. So you maybe can explain this to me then. Before we move on, the Bucs and the Bills are the co-favorites to win the Super Bowl. Bucs are plus 550, Bills plus 600. The Chiefs are next.
That's not co-favorites then, RJ.
Not co-favorites, but they're the top...
favorites in each division.
In each conference, yes.
I apologize. The Chiefs are next, only marginally behind the Bills at plus 650. And then there's a pretty big drop-off to the Rams, and then the Packers, and then the Cardinals. So I guess Vegas and perhaps you guys, Cardinals aren't ready yet, I guess, huh?
Let me ask you. right now, if you had to rank teams in the NFL that will win the Super Bowl, where do the Cardinals fall in?
I'm with you, but at 13-1, if you're into that sort of thing, is that worth, you know, putting a couple of bucks down?
Maybe it is.
Okay.
But in the end, do you really think they're going to win the Super Bowl? And I think the answer is no.
Fair enough. All right. A little more football. Patrick Mahomes is also not quite as far back as the Chiefs, but he's no longer the MVP favorite either. He took a pretty seismic drop. He went from first all the way down to sixth.
Wow.
The current favorites, and this will be your Cuddle Mary Trash's MVP, Kyler Murray, Josh Allen, and Tom Brady.
Ooh, I'm up first?
Yeah.
I mean, what about, there's so many, though. I mean, we saw what Lamar Jackson did last night. Justin Herbert, what he's doing.
Justin Herbert is fifth on the list. He is tied with Dak Prescott, 7-1.
So tied for fourth or tied for fifth?
Tied for fourth.
Okay.
Sorry.
What about Dak, too? All right, so you gave me Brady.
Brady, Allen, Kyler.
And is that 1-2-3 in Vegas?
Yes, and they're very close. So they're all either 5-1 or 6-1.
All right, I'm going to marry... Right now, at this moment, I'm going to marry Kyler. I am going to cuddle. Aww. I'm going to cuddle Tom. And I hate to do it. I'll trash Josh Allen because he's in my division.
Trashing Josh Allen.
Nicely, though. I did it nice.
I don't know. I don't think so. At least recycle. At least recycle Josh Allen.
Yeah, I'll recycle him.
Okay.
I'll even take the label off so he actually gets recycled.
Oh, good.
How about this? I think this would be a fun exercise because I think I know where Dave's going. Dave, for you, I want to swap out Justin Herbert for Josh Allen. So you get Justin Herbert, Kyler Murray, and Tom Brady because I know how you feel about Justin Herbert.
Oh, he loves him.
You know, you make it sound like I'm on an island.
You're
here.
Not, the but the emotions, I think, are stronger than, you know, anyone he may have in his life personally. I think that could be accurate.
Wow. So now I get to choose from Herbert. All right. I'm going... Well, this is very difficult. I'm going to marry Brady.
Wow.
Yeah, I think that he is going to... I mean, the guy is good for 3-4 touchdowns every single game. The weapons are nonstop there. I will marry Brady. And could you imagine? You don't think he would love to win the MVP at 44? Everything he does at this point is so conversational now. It's front page. So I'll marry Brady. I will cuddle Kyler Murray.
Wow. Surprise me.
And, well, I like what you've done here, but that division is really good. And as great as Herbert is, you think at some point he might regress a little bit. So I will trash. And it's not easy for me to say, but I will trash Justin Herbert.
All right. We'll check back in on that. All right. From the suggestion box.
We'll never get back into that, by the way.
Well, you don't know. If he stays up there, we'll come back to this.
You will never revisit that topic for us.
I'm going to write it down right now.
Okay.
From the suggestion box of Dave Rothenberg of the best iteration of Rick's name, we have...
Dave Rothenberg and...
We have Del Piero. We have...
It's Damer and DePietro and...
Or, if you prefer...
It's Damer and DePietro and... Everybody?
Or we can just go with the real thing, Rick DePietro, which he built quite a successful life on.
Yeah, but maybe all it's right. Time for a change now. Maybe
this is back to me, yes?
This is back to you.
All right, the obvious trash is it's DiPietro. I mean, it's old, it's not new, there's nothing sexy or exciting about it. It's just, it's DiPietro, right? It's the name that his father held his nose to. No, we trash DiPietro. We cuddle DiPietro. We love DiPietro. We cuddle DiPietro. And the fact that he called himself DePietro.
It's Damer and DePietro, and...
How could you not fall in love with it and cuddle it? So I will cuddle DePietro. Del Perro is... That's the name. It's sexy. It's unique. It's top of mind.
Dave Rothenberg and Del Perro.
Del Perro. I will marry every day of the week Del Perro.
Yeah, I have a hard time disagreeing with that. I will say, though, I'm going to marry... No, don't get married first. No. I'm gonna cuddle first. I'm going to cuddle my real name, which is DiPietro. I'm going to trash. I had a misstep. I'm going to trash DiPietro. He doesn't
Listen
sound
to me
that
eat
fun.
Mango. I'm DiPietro.
He doesn't sound that fun. And then I agree with Dave. I have to marry DePuro.
Dave Rothenberg.
It's new. It's sexy.
DePuro.
Gives me a chance to reinvent myself. Maybe I get into the Italian-American Hall of Fame.
I think you'd be right in. Now, there's a space there, right? It's D-E-L-P-I-R-R-O, but there's a space in between Dell and Pura, right?
Yeah, and I think we're capitalizing the P there, too.
Oh.
Oh, yeah.
Are you DeGrom, or it's a lowercase D and a capital? No.
No, no. Capital D, capital P.
So it's D-E-L space capital P-U-R-R-O.
No, it's not Puro, no.
It's Pur. Listen to what he says. RJ, play it again.
And... Del Perro.
He says Del Perro.
Yeah, but you think that's sexier with the kind of like the purr at the end?
Oh, yeah. It makes you think of a lynx. Absolutely. Del Perro.
A lynx.
Beautiful cat. Oh. I had a buddy that got a pet lynx. That didn't work out so well.
What a surprise.
If you do want to catch the authentic Rick DiPietro, can find him on ESPN and the ESPN Plus vehicles. NHL back on the ESPN beginning tonight, which is exciting, and on ESPN Plus, so go subscribe. And finally, there's been a lot of talk here about Dave's new vehicle. He's in the market for a new vehicle. What we do know is...
So I'm not allowed to get a Tesla.
Nope.
Can't get a Tesla. Or can he? So here are your options for Dave's next vehicle. Should he buy a pickup truck like Rick? Should he still get a Tesla even though...
So I'm not allowed to get a Tesla.
I tried to actually encourage Dave while his wife was out of town to go get a Tesla. That was your window that you missed.
Yeah, you're a great friend.
You're a real man.
Or should you just get the standard boring four-door family vehicle? So Cuddle, Mary, Trash, pickup truck, Tesla, boring four-door vehicle.
Now, what should Dave do or what will Dave do?
What should you do?
Okay.
What should you do? Because we know what you're going to do. You're gonna fold like a cheap tent. You'll get another one. You'll get another whatever you're driving now. You won't make your own decisions.
That's not the question, though. The question is, what should Dave do?
I think what Dave should do, and I'm gonna marry this, you should put your foot down because you deserve it. Is you should get yourself a fancy new Tesla. The other thing you should do, which I'm gonna cuddle, is man up. Go get yourself a fancy new pickup truck. You don't even need Nugenix. All of a sudden, your testosterone just naturally picks up. You can look like Doug Flutie or the Big Hurt, and then I'm trashing the family sedan.
I agree. I mean, if I were a real man, I would just say, listen, Cher, I'm getting a Tesla, and there's nothing you can do
about
it.
Maybe she would like it. Maybe she
probably
would like
would.
It. Show up at home and be like, oh, you disobeyed me? You're like, you're damn right I disobeyed
that's
you.
That's right, and I'll do it again if I have to.
I'll do it again. Get in the car.
Get in the car and let it drive it. Drive us to Atlantic City, baby.
That's Dave's version of a Harley. He disobeyed and got a Tesla. I think that Tesla...
I would agree. Listen, I think you're right. I would. The right play is the Tesla. It's not what I will do. You say man enough. I'm not man enough for a pickup truck. I don't think it's something I could handle. I think it would be on my purview. I will trash the pickup, and I will say just the garden variety... family sedan would be the cuddle there.
Yeah, I can see Dave riding shotgun in Rick's truck. I don't know about driving zone.
Yeah, just to get up into the main area of the truck feels like that would be hurdle for me.
You know what the problem would be? You'd pull up to like a stoplight and somebody would be like, what are you hauling? And you'd be like, oh, me? Nothing.
Gum. I'm just... what do you have in that thing? Gum. Yeah.
I have some groceries in the back. Yeah. That's about all I
got. Mango in the back. You want some?
All right. That's CMT brought to you by Nissan. Nissan's an easier choice than ever with their exciting and fuel-efficient lineup. Now get great offers across their full line. Shop at your local Nissan store and NissanUSA.com and by DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app today. Use code GREEN for a special offer when you sign up only at DraftKings Sportsbook.
You know, you are now like Marconi worthy when it comes to these CMTs. Do a phenomenal, phenomenal job.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
And welcome aboard.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
Mike Tenenbaum is with us. Before he joins us, let me let you know that Straight Talk is brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract and no compromise. And cars, homes, boats, motorcycles, RVs, and more at progressive.com. You've been a stranger. We appreciate a couple minutes. He is the great, talented Mike Tenenbaum. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning. Let me get right to it, guys. I assume that you guys fly commercial. You know, I'm just on with Keyshawn, Jay, Will, and Max, and those three guys all fly private. So good to be back with people I'm presuming fly commercial like I do.
Yeah. Although, when Rick went away recently, he flew first class to the big NHL meetings for ESPN.
First of all, I drove all the way to Florida on vacation. I was forced to fly because it was a meeting in Chicago.
And what compartment were you in on the flight?
I was initially coach, and then all of a sudden, when I checked in, I got the update on my phone that gave me the option. I could just turn my nose.
Oh, they gave you the option. Who's going to, Mike, you could sit in coach with people slobbering on you, or you can have beautiful warm cookies in first class. Oh, you know what? I'll take coach. No one would do that.
Hey, Rick, thanks so much for saying hello when you got to Florida. I know, like, when I go to Long Island, the first thing I think about is, like, where's DiPietro? And I guess under the doctrine of reciprocity, like, maybe my friendship meant a little bit more to me than it does to you.
No, see, here's the difference, though. You're on the bougie coast. This is why I'm truly a man of the people. You're on the bougie coast. I'm on the the low key coast.
Well, we could have met in the middle.
I like you very much, Mike. Can our friendship go to the next level?
100%. Because, Dave, I know if you were down in Florida, you would absolutely look me up.
I'd want to go get food with you. I would.
Let's break some bread.
Well, I'd love to break some bread. All right. We got some stuff to get into today. Obviously, the Gruden story is the first one to lead off with here. It's a terrible story, Mike. And I don't even know what question I specifically have for you. I'm so bothered by it. And I guess if I was like an Eric Bieniemy, if I was a Lewis Riddick, I would see this kind of stuff and be like, you know what? I feel even more upset today not having a job than I did the other day because this kind of stuff is going on behind closed doors.
Yeah, it's unbelievably disappointing. And the fact that it went on for as many years as it did, like, you know, this was a really fast-moving story, guys. You know, it started Friday night and it sounded like, okay, he made a mistake. There was an email. And then, wow, like what came out last night, it was a tidal wave. And obviously it just ended the absolute only way it could have. And it was just a matter of if not when. But, boy, it was disappointing to hear that that went on for as long as it did.
Yeah, Mike, I mean, he burned every single bridge, right? I mean, there's no chance that John Gruden ends up back coaching anywhere, right?
Gosh, I just don't see that scenario. I mean, hopefully he gets some help and realizes, like, you know, what he did and how hurtful it was. And, yeah, I would just be shocked. Like, I don't see a scenario where he comes back.
The Raiders had to do this. Like, if he didn't resign, which I know he did, I know Mark Davis is completely in love with him, but you'd think they would have had to have fired him, right?
Yeah, there's no question. Again, it wasn't a matter of if, but how and when. And unfortunately, I've been in that situation a couple times where decisions have to be made. You go behind closed doors and say, hey, like, we're leaving this room where you're not part of the organization. How do you want that to look? Do you want to resign? And those are obviously very hard conversations to have, but that's clearly what those two gentlemen had to talk about behind closed doors. It's over. Do you want to resign? Yes or no?
The great Mike Tannenbaum joins us here on the show, who I will be at some point meeting in the middle of Florida to to get together. Mike, I know Dave's going to ask you about his Giants, but, I mean, Jets, in a game I thought that was, especially after what we saw against Tennessee, defense sacks Tannehill, you know, seven times, no Calvin Ridley in this game. It was a winnable game. Falcons defense isn't great, and that was probably the most frustrated I've been as a Jets fan. Another awful start. Zach Wilson didn't look good at all. My question to you is this, is how is it through 5 weeks it can still look this bad early in games for the Jets?
Yeah, look, developing quarterbacks, guys, is hard. Like, we've talked about this for a long time with Daniel Jones. We're seeing it with Mac Jones, Zach Wilson, Trevor Lawrence, Justin Fields. Like, there's going to be some more inconsistencies. The part that if we were coaching him, I would talk about is, like, hit the layup. You got to hit the layups. Like, don't worry about hitting the three-pointer every time, because we saw the splash plays against Tennessee. That's why they drafted him. He can make incredible plays, but he's got to hit the checkdowns, the balls in the flat. I think his fundamentals have a ways to go. And I think what we saw from Lamar Jackson last night, guys, is an example of a very talented young player who has great character, who worked on his weaknesses of getting the ball down the field, and now is unstoppable. And from the Jets' standpoint, Zach Wilson has great character as well. Those are the things he's going to have to work on. But if we're having this conversation in a month, you know, be it on the radio or in person in Florida, the same thing would be there are going to be more inconsistencies. Now, defensively, that was a bad day at the office. Like, that was a Falcon offense that was predictable. You knew where the ball was going to go. I thought they would have been played better. But Zach Wilson's going to take a minute to get to the next level.
Mike Tannenbaum with us here, 98.7 ESPN. Mike, are you surprised? Because I think you thought the Giants would be better than this. They look lost. And what I know Rick is really surprised about, and so am I, is their defense is so bad. I mean, that was the strength of the team last year. You thought they'd be better offensively, and they have been for the most part. But the defense stinks right now.
You know, Dave, I think they're just a hard evaluation because, look, Daniel Jones, to me, like, I don't know who in the world they could get that's better than Daniel Jones. Like, I think he's sort of solidified himself, so that's good news. But when you're decimated with injuries like they are, especially on offense, like, it's a hard evaluation. I think Blake Martinez, to me, is a great example of sometimes there's players that have tremendous intangibles, and I think that's what we're seeing. They lost their quarterback on defense.
No, I know you say that, though, Mike, but, I mean, the reason why I think Dave and I both felt, even with the loss of Blake Martinez,
was
this defense would still be good was because they're secondary. I mean, you get McKinney back healthy, you added Dory Jackson, you know, Bradbury had an amazing season last season, and, I mean, for me, he's probably the biggest culprit so far this season. James Bradbury, he doesn't look like the same player this season.
Yeah, he's played poorly, and they ran right by him the other day, and I thought with Leonard Williams, Azeez Ojulari, who I really like coming out, I thought they had a couple of pressure players up front with Martinez. Like, you need players at all three levels of your defense. And I agree, like, Adoree Jackson's durability has been an issue, but he's a great athlete. He has great foot quickness. I agree. I thought they were going to play better. I think McKinney is a good player. I don't know if he's great because I don't know about his range in the middle of the field. But Bradbury, to me, like, he's got to be a guy that they could play man-to-man with and hold up. And right now, he can't do that.
If things spiral out of control, and we don't know how long Barkley, Jones, Galladay, any of these guys are going to be out as far as right now, but if things spiral out of control and the Giants go, I don't know, 3-14, 4-13, could you see them cleaning house from top to bottom and just starting from scratch again?
Yeah, I certainly hope they don't because, like, to me, Joe Judge and Daniel Jones, like, I think that's a very intriguing pair. And again, you're trying to develop, like, two incredibly difficult positions in New York, and if you're going to move on from Joe Judge, who are you going to get, and how do you know the quarterback's going to be developed any better? So I think I would be a little bit more patient. I thought Andrew Thomas was taking massive strides this year, so it's not perfect by any stretch, but I do think they have a really good foundation. I believe in Joe Judge, and I think it's a hard evaluation. When you're missing seven stars on offense, like, and you're trotting out Mike Glennon against Dak Prescott, you know, I'm not so sure if Nuke Rockne can win that matchup.
Let me ask you a question, though, Mike, and this is something that it kind of annoyed me a little bit and probably would have been more if I was an actual Giants fan. So we were asking all towards the end of last week because Andrew Thomas, who's played really well for the Giants this season, I mean, he's your left tackle, hobbled, coming off the ankle injury. We kept asking, you know, will he play, will he play? He ends up being active, and then we see Nate Solder at left tackle, who clearly can't play left tackle anymore, and Andrew Thomas is on the bench. Like, why even have him dressed and active if there's no chance he's going to play in that game?
Yeah, it's a great question, and I would say this, Rick, like, sometimes you have discussions with trainers that say, hey, like, he's not ready today. In an emergency, he can get you through 15, 20 plays. It's not ideal, but sometimes a player that could give you 15 plays is way better than a practice squad offensive lineman that's just not ready to play. So I know it's a weird optic. It's unusual. It happened the other day, but that's usually the reason why.
Mike, we appreciate you. You don't know what you've just done, though. By you telling him that was a great question, his day is now made. I mean, he's going to walk around with an aura that you can't even imagine. You think I'm kidding. We're on a Zoom call right now. He's flexing. He's genuflecting. Like, it's very unattractive. So I love you. I'd like to break bread with you down in Florida. Remember, he avoids you at all costs, but now you have made him into a conquering hero in his home today.
I was just hoping to get a chai latte from you guys. I mean, it's been a minute here. I'm thirsty. I'm not hydrated. It's early. I thought, you know, my buddies would have, you know, my favorite Starbucks drink, but, you know, I guess I'm going to have to go get my own.
Soy, too, by the way, just so you know. Soy, well, I got it. Trust me, I got it. Nice and hot.
He knows what you like. Mike, we appreciate you. We will talk to you sooner rather than later. Have a great day. We'll talk
to you. All right. Great to be on with you guys. Hope you're doing well.
Thanks so much. That, of course, is Mike Tannenbaum. I'm a fan. I mean, he's very good. And the fact that you got the great question is just, it's gross. And
by the way, too, speaking of all the injuries with the Giants, I mean, if Daniel Jones doesn't start that game so poorly throwing the football and isn't, like, crazy inaccurate on that throw to Saquon Barkley, he probably doesn't get hurt there, by the way.
He definitely doesn't get hurt there.
Because that was
a terrible throw. It was wide open. And then you had to play to Tony where he dropped that. I mean, the guy, Tony was sensational, but early on in that first drive, he should have caught that third down pass. It was a disaster. That entire game was a disaster. Now, you can get a Samsung Galaxy A32 5G for only $299. No contract. Straight Talk Wireless. 5G capable device required. Actual availability, coverage, and speed may vary. Let's go to the three stars of the day.
Today's three stars.
And we start at
number three
with Mark Andrews for proving
tight ends don't score 40 points in fantasy football.
Dave, wrong. Yes, they do. And Dave, you lost your fantasy game.
I don't understand. I really don't. You claim to be my best friend. Do you know, you've known me for years. I think we have a great relationship. Why it gives everyone such enjoyment to watch me miserable?
Isn't that why we have you on?
Number two.
Goes posthumously to Gordon Damer.
It's Damer and DePietro and...
Is that dead?
Still.
Everybody?
He did that. He facilitated that in the summer, and it still keeps giving us some great material. And number one goes to...
Number one.
Our very own Rick DiPietro for being part of the NHL back on ESPN tonight. Pittsburgh, Tampa, followed by Kraken, Golden Knights.
All for hockey.
Right here on ESPN.
The Kraken is a mythological sea monster.
It's a mythological sea monster.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.